released.
Fox's Wendell Goller. A day after rulings on two major gay marriage cases, the Supreme Court declining to take up two more on the issue, and actor James Gandolfini remembered.
We're just here to say goodbye.
A private funeral underway at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City for the man best known for playing mob boss Tony Soprano. The 51-year-old died of a heart attack while visiting Rome. Fox News. We report. You decide.
The road to the U.S. Women's Open has reached its ultimate destination, and the Metro Golf Show will provide the best coverage on New York area radio of the country's premier golf tournament for women. Hi, I'm Tom Merriam. Join Bill Meth and me this Saturday morning at 8 o'clock here on WVOX 1460 AM and WVOX.com for the Metro Golf Show, with on-the-scene insight from Sabonic on the U.S. Women's Open. We'll also have special coverage of the Ike Championship from Waikiki here in New Rochelle. Plus, a special interview with the president of the USGA, Glenn Nager. You'll get all that and even more this Saturday and every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock on what the New York Daily News calls the best local radio show covering golf, the Metro Golf Show on WVOX 1460 AM and WVOX.com. Tune us in before you tee off. The Metro Golf Show is sponsored in part by the 2013 U.S. Women's Open, the Mohegan Sun, the Metropolitan Golf Association, Barbados Tourism, Bridgestone Golf, and the Paramount Country Club.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
A bit of weather forecast for today. Our skies are going to be partly sunny, but you have the chance to shower some thunderstorms, mostly this afternoon and this evening. Some of the thunderstorms could produce some gusty winds and heavy rainfall, or highs in the mid-80s. Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight. Some thunderstorms could produce some heavy rainfall or downpours. For overnight low temperatures, generally back to about 70. And more of the same on Friday. Mainly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely. It's going to be warm and muggy. We'll have some midday sun that'll help temperatures go into lower 80s. But with showers and thunderstorms likely at night, nighttime lows in the upper 60s. Then on Saturday, mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely as our highs range in the upper 80s. Lower 80s still with a chance of showers Sunday. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Why pay for radio when it's free right here?
It's the future right now.
All you got to do is
listen and love it.
VOX.
WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens, and we get closer and closer to that demise every single day. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, June 27th, 2013, the seventh day of summer. We have lost less than 1 minute of daylight since yesterday and just 1 minute since last we met 2 weeks ago. Daylight this near to the solstices is flat, hence the relatively small differences in daylight at the beginning of summer and winter. Daylight diminishes slowly at first, then more rapidly until the winter solstice when it will begin to increase yet again, time immemorial for as long as we all shall live, according to the immutable laws of the universe. The sun rose at 5:25 this morning. It will set at 8:31 this evening. We will have 15 hours and 6 minutes of daylight today. The moon will rise 11:24 tonight. It will set at 10:26 tomorrow morning. We're between full moon and last quarter. The next full moon will be on July 22nd. Don't have tide information for you today, but the tides will rise twice today as every day. Now, our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war, may they live on in all of our hearts. Specialist Javier Sanchez Jr., age 28, of Greenfield, California. He was with the 10th Mountain Division, killed by a roadside bomb while on mounted patrol in Paktika Province on June 23rd, which was just 4 days ago. What's today?
27.
I just said 27, so it's actually 4 days ago, yes. Four of our troops were killed in a single incident when they were attacked near Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan on June 18th. Three were from the 4th Infantry Division, and they are Specialist Robert W. Ellis, age 21, of Kennewick, Washington. Specialist William R. Moody, age 30, of Burleson, Texas. Specialist Amber M. Ault, age 21, of Beach Island, South Carolina. And Sergeant R. Justin Johnson, age 25, of Hobie Sound, Florida. He was actually with the 10th Transportation Battalion. The other four were with the 4th Infantry. Also killed was Marine Lance Corporal Jared W. Brown, age 20, of Youngstown, Florida, with the 2nd Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand Province on June 16th. These five American servicemen and one American servicewoman were alive on the date of our last broadcast 2 weeks ago. Each death is a great loss to his or her family and to all Americans. I look forward to the day when the conflict in Afghanistan comes to an end and there are no more deaths to report. Okay, time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions and you have the right to disagree with them because everyone has the right to be wrong. Today we have two reviews. The first one will be delivered by our ballet and dance correspondent, Sandra Prosnitz. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Bob.
You saw a production of American Ballet Theatre. Tell us about it.
Yes, I did. That was last week, and they were doing Swan Lake, which is the greatest of all classical ballets. The story has enchanted generations of ballet lovers. Prince Siegfried has left his coming-of-age party and is wandering through the forest. He is amazed to see a flock of swans land and turn into a group of young women. Their leader, Princess Odette, explains that they have been turned into swans by an evil magician. Only at night can they regain their human form, and only love can break the spell. As dawn breaks, she resumes her swan form, and the prince realizes that he is in love with her. At the ball where Prince Siegfried is to choose his wife, Von Rothbart, the evil magician, appears with his daughter, Odile, disguised as Odette. She seduces Siegfried into declaring his love for her. Too late, he realizes that he has been tricked. The grief-stricken lovers throw themselves into the lake, breaking Von Rothbart's evil spell. This ballet has everything. Drama, spectacle, beautiful choreography, and of course that lovely Tchaikovsky score. ABT's production is outstanding. Veronica Part is a beautiful dancer whom I've enjoyed watching, but she was dramatically challenged. Her Odette was too reserved. She did not show believably her love for Siegfried. As a result, there was no contrast between the white swan, Odette, and the black swan, Odile. Kari Stearns was terrific as Prince Siegfried. His dancing has a lovely, light, effortless quality, and he also acted the part effectively, from moody prince to exultant lover. Ivan Vasiliev was a powerful Von Rothbart. Sasha Radetzky danced a charming pas de trois at the coming-of-age party with Melanie Hamrick and Stella Abrera.
Well, sounds like you did enjoy it.
I did indeed.
And I like your comment about the acting contrast between the two princesses because that's pretty essential to that ballet. You have to believe the passion is what clues them, isn't it? That's really
well. It's one of the great dancing challenges.
Yeah.
And I really felt that she didn't make much of an effort at the drama. She was content just to dance it well.
So as you say, her acting is challenged. Okay.
Yeah.
Well taken. Okay, we also saw The Sound of Music at Westchester Broadway Theater. Saw it last Thursday. It is now running until August 11th. And this is one of the best productions I have personally seen at Westchester Broadway Theater, and I've seen almost all of them over the last few years. So they're sometimes a little sketchy, but this one was smoking. I don't know whether the section I sat in was ideally situated, but I had no problem with the sound system, as if you listen to this program and to these reviews, you know I often do in this particular house. Perhaps they've upgraded it, or is it just where I was sitting? I really don't know, but for the first time, I heard everything, and it sounded like a theater should sound. Aubrey Sin, the ingenue lead who plays Maria, was great and, surprise, surprise, not yet a member of Actors Equity. I spoke to her after the play, and she says, yes, she's still young, and she'll get there, but she definitely plans to pursue acting, which she should. It's quite a role for a neophyte actress, but she is well cast and very good in the part. She sings, acts, and moves well, and her chemistry with the children is absolutely terrific, and that's essential to this particular play, The Sound of Music. The very fine support cast rounds out this production. Melinda Tanner is Frau Schmidt. The housekeeper shines among them. Ms. Tanner epitomizes the saying, there are no small parts, only small actors. She is very large in her small part. Karen Murphy plays the mother Abbess. She shows off a very fine operatic voice in her finale numbers of both Acts 1 and 2. The children all do very well in their parts. The imperfections are glaring only because the rest is so darn good that the contrast is stark. These flaws would go unnoticed in a lesser production. Really worth seeing this one. Westchester Broadway Theater is in Elmsford, right off the Sprain Parkway. Dinner, show, and parking is $85. Try to get that in Manhattan. Now, one little thing I have to say about this, there is a Nazi element. This takes place around World War II. When the actors came out for their bows, they were wearing their swastika armbands, and I just could not applaud for them. I think they should have left the armbands off. They should have taken the swastikas off the stage, period. I actually booed, which I will do when I am faced with that situation. So if you want applause from me, get rid of those swastikas. It's part of the play. Wear it as your costume, but you come out for applause like that, no way I'm applauding a Nazi. Now that I've vented a little bit, I have a little more venting. I have an editorial about the Edward Snowden situation. When I was growing up, I was taught that I should reflect on things before I opined about them, and I try to do that. I was also taught that blind patriotism is not patriotism at all, and that what made America great was the right of each American to voice their opinion without fear of retribution. Let me quote from the Fourth Amendment to our Constitution. The right of the people to be secure against unreasonable search shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue without probable cause. Now, that was what set us apart from the communists and fascists. True patriotism, I was taught, carried an obligation to criticize America. That strengthened it, a serious responsibility to our country and to our courageous founding fathers. In that light, consider Edward Snowden, not a hero, because it is not heroic to exercise a responsibility, but a patriot, because he has the courage of his convictions. And what did he tell us? Simply that our government is spying on us. He didn't reveal any great secrets. I want to know that my government is spying on me. Does that harm me? No. Does it harm you? No. Do I think we should use every resource to thwart terrorism? Absolutely. I'll pick up arms right now if I'm called to defend my country against terrorists, or defend any country anywhere against any kind of terrorism, whether it's Israel or Palestine or whatever. Okay. Snowden just felt our government was going too far, and I do agree. I'm happy he let me know what was going on. I can't imagine that will abet terrorists in any way. Indeed, the debate has been sparked and is being discussed all over America. Some are outraged at Snowden's disclosure. Others are outraged at the facts which he disclosed. Shining the light on these programs is an act of patriotism. The programs were started, I believe, in the Bush-Cheney regime. No surprise. The fact that they continue under the Obama administration, which I support, is discomforting. I'm happy at least that President Obama is soft-pedaling on Mr. Snowden and not joining the howling mob, which would lynch him. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. My guest will join us right after our break. If you are listening in Youngstown, Ohio, Youngstown, Florida, Baltimore, Tacoma Park, Maryland, Tacoma or Yakima, Washington, or Brick, New Jersey, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You're listening live, and we will be right back.
With world and national news three times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. NSA leaker Edward Snowden now thought to be in Moscow. President Obama says he's going through the regular channels to get Snowden back here to face espionage charges, but won't start wheeling and dealing.
I'm not going to be scrambling jets to get a 29-year-old hacker.
The president in Africa is starting a week-long tour. In the Florida trial of George Zimmerman accused of murdering unarmed teenager Trayvon Martin, Rachel Jeantel, a friend of Martin's, being asked about a phone conversation with him before he died.
The defense has been grilling her about her story since yesterday.
That you didn't see anything, you weren't there.
No.
Now she's already admitted to lying about her whereabouts, something the defense has been building on, trying to paint her as unreliable.
Fox Radio's Evan Brown. Fixed mortgage rates have surged to their highest level in 2 years, to 4.46%. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Fox News on your time. The Fox News iPad app is ready to go with all the great features from FoxNews.com and our iPhone app optimized specifically for your iPad. Watch the latest clips from your favorite Fox News shows. Personalize the app by creating your own newscast using the video playlist. Listen to Fox News Radio live. Get local weather forecasts. And it's all free. Go to FoxNews2Go.mobi. That's Fox News, the number 2, Go.mobi.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You look at the newly expanded, newly improved, newly awesome Empire City Casino, and one word comes to mind. Wow. Is it the new restaurant with an award-winning chef, the new sights and sounds, the new cocktail bar or live entertainment, or the more than 5,300 slots and table games like roulette, craps, and baccarat? Yes, baccarat. I like the sound of that. Baccarat. The new Empire City Casino. Exit 2 off the New York State Thruway. It's the dawn of a new empire.
Now in Westchester, for corporate travel, executive transportation, and custom limousine service, the leader, clearly, is Excel. After 2 decades in the county, Rich Guberti's Excel Transportation Service does just that. Specializing in sedans, limos, and 14-passenger vans, Excel is the new class of the fleet and the Westchester leader in terms of cars, service, resources, and the quality of their Excel drivers. Most of the Golden Apple's blue-chip companies have, in fact, in recent years, switched to Excel for local transportation and city-to-city service to Washington, Albany, Baltimore, Hartford, Boston, and Philadelphia at rates even less than rail or air. And you can use them too for a trip into town, the airport, or any special occasion. Call President Rich Guberti at Excel Headquarters, EXCEL Transportation, 576-9797, 914-576-9797. These days in Westchester, the new car service leader, because Excel excels. 576-9797.
Go global on WVOX.com. Call David O'Shaughnessy for more information. 914-636-1460.
WVOX.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle or at www.wvox.com on the web. Without any further delay, I'd like to introduce my guest. His name is Rick Newman. He is an entertainment entrepreneur, creator of the best-known comedy club in New York or anywhere else, I think. And the name of that was Catch a Rising Star. Anybody who's familiar with New York and the entertainment scene certainly has heard of that club. Rick remains a show producer. He's based in New York. Welcome, Rick Newman.
Hi there, Bob. How are you?
Hi. Nice to have you on. Sorry you had to wait so long. But
okay. It was very interesting.
Okay. Very good. I'm glad. Okay. You started Catch a Rising Star, I believe it was somewhere around December 18th, 1972. Am I about right?
Yeah, that's exactly when I began it.
Ah, cool.
And, no one knew what a Catch a Rising Star was at that point. So I was looking for someone, a celebrity, to hang a party on so that I might be lucky enough to get some press. A friend of mine knew Rocky Graziano, who had a pizza place on 2nd Avenue in the 30s, and he said, if you meet him and he likes you, he'll let you throw you a party. So I met him, spent about 45 minutes with him. He says, I like you, kid. You can throw me a party. And I opened up that night with a party for Rocky Graziano.
I guess it's better to be liked by Rocky Graziano than disliked by Rocky Graziano.
Yeah, he was such a sweet man. So, listen to this.
Yeah.
Rocky Graziano and Raging Bull, what's his name? I'm blank.
Robert De Niro.
No. The actual fighter.
Jake LaMotta?
Yeah. They both used to get up on stage at Catch a Rising Star and do the scene from On the Waterfront.
Really?
I wish I had a copy of it, but they used to do that pretty regularly because the audience loved it.
What, was it comedy or drama?
No, well, it It was supposed to be drama, but it was hysterical. I mean, they loved that they got laughter at it. They read it the way that it was written. Just the two of them doing it was great, hysterical. Anyhow, just a little aside.
Very, very good. So now, what is the status of Catch a Rising Star? You don't still have that franchise,
do
you?
No, I sold Catch a Rising Star. I actually now own a theater called Stage 72. It's on 158 West 72nd Street between Columbus and Broadway. And it's a wonderful place. We do comedy and music and musical comedies and plays and readings and screenings. It's a mini, it's like my partner Peter Martin built it. And he designed a 1930s movie palace and like shrunk wrap it, and it's amazing.
Is that really a word, shrunk wrap?
Shrink wrap.
Can you actually do that?
It's very few things that aren't a word.
So is Stage 72 where you're doing your celebrity autobiography?
Autobiography, yes, yes.
Tell us about that. It sounds fascinating and funny.
Oh my God! Most recent show was 2 weeks ago. And our cast was Brooke Shields, Tony Danza, Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock, Janine Garofalo, Mario Cantone, Eugene Pack, Dale Raphael. I mean, it's in New York, when we do the show in New York, we do it once a month. Actually, we just did twice a month. But whoever is around would usually want to do it. And we get a lot of people from SNL that want to do it. And it just depends, you know, on who's available.
It's called Celebrity Autobiography. Tell us what form does it take? You have these stars, and what do they do?
They're different celebrities that are reading other celebrities' autobiographies.
Oh, that's funny.
Verbatim.
Oh.
We do not change one word. I guarantee, you know, I've been in the comedy business a long time. It's the only show I can always guarantee any of my friends that if you haven't seen it, I guarantee you, it's hysterical. And it is. It's bulletproof as far as reviews. We tour all over the world.
Really? They're not going to read a whole book. So what are they, excerpts?
They read a passage.
Oh, they excerpt
the books. There might be eight people in the show. And we might read from 15 to 20 different autobiographies that night. The autobiographies change on a very regular basis. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's part of the show where there's mashups, where they're different books but with similar topics. And you might have four or five celebrities on stage at the same time, each reading a line or two from the book. But somehow Eugene Pack puts it all together, and it's brilliant, and it's just hysterical.
I'm looking forward to seeing it myself.
I can't wait for you to come down.
Absolutely. Now, some of the people that have been on your stage, I think you've mentioned Jerry Seinfeld, Andy Kaufman, Richard
Belzer. Yeah, Catch a Rising Star, sure. Yeah.
Oh, that was a Catch a Rising Star.
Well, yeah, Catch a Rising Star, you know, when it caught on, which was only about a year after I opened, you know, Richard Belzer was my first MC, and then, you know, at that point, Robin Williams and Billy Crystal, and Andy Kaufman, and, you know, all the Saturday Night Live people were hanging out there because it was the only place like that, and it, you know, on the Upper East Side, and it was a little bit funky, but a little bit upscale funky, and it just worked. It just, everyone just hung out there. So there's so many people that came out of there. You know, then on my 10th anniversary, we did an HBO 10th anniversary special where everybody came back. And was on it. It was just an amazing show.
Terrific.
Then we did a 25th anniversary special on CBS, which was pretty amazing.
On CBS?
Yes, that was, I shot that. At that time, HBO and CBS were doing the Aspen Comedy Festival, and I filmed it there. They were partners on the show. We were all partners on it.
Now, Rick, you went to the School of Industrial Arts.
I did.
High school, and you actually say that it opened your mind up to, it was an art school, and yet you're specializing in comedy and theater. Tell us about that experience and how it actually inspired you to go the way you went.
Well, I don't know. it didn't inspire me as much as it really opened up all of the creative, whatever it's called, X factor things inside of you. You know, I took sculpture, I took watercolor, I took charcoal, I took photography. So when your mind is going and creating all of those things, I think it just, it was a great training and education for what I wound up doing, which was kind of a mistake, you know. I thought I was going to go into the advertising business, but I crazily wound up in this business.
Well, we're all richer for that, what you would call a misstep, but we wouldn't.
Thank you very much.
So it's just from taking these courses, you know, Mayor Davis of Mount Vernon had a program before, and he was talking about curriculum and how it's very important to include arts and music in high school curricula, and those are the first things to get cut. So I guess you kind of concur.
I concur, and then some. You know, it's such an important part of every single person on this planet. You know, how can you not learn and get the chance to express art and support it? You know, that makes no sense. That's like not eating healthy.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. You have also been a manager of certain people.
I have.
People.
I have, again, Pat Benatar. I discovered her one night at Catch a Rising Star when she was auditioning, and Richard Pelzer was emceeing that night. I was at the bar. It was 2:30 in the morning. In those days, the show just ran all night long. It was just packed all the time. It was just crazy.
So you don't just catch a rising star, you actually make stars.
Well, sometimes I did get involved in management, and I thought it didn't take very much to see that there was someone that was so talented as she was. And then I went on to manage Belzer, and then I managed a few other people in the music business. Rodney Crowell is a very talented man, and Susie Essman, who from Curb Your Enthusiasm, managed Tough for a little while. But yeah, and then I got into, you know, production. I mean, you try and do it all, and it depends how lucky you get in some of it, you know.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, we're about out of time, Rick. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the first part.
Yes.
And I definitely will be in touch with you as far as coming down to check out the show. I can't wait.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bob. Nice
talking
to you. Okay,
Rick. My great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I'd like to thank Rick Newman for joining us today on Environmentally Sound. Life can be full of complaints or full of amusements, usually both. Some dwell on the negatives, as is revealed by many callers to the station. Some get their jollies out of politics and criticizing the other side, usually negative, rarely positive, highly partisan, and others do what they can. They vote, etc., etc. Okay, the opportunity to laugh, to think, to relax is what entertainment gives us. Thank you, Rick, for that. Our thought for the week: the more complex the mind, the greater the need for the simplicity of play. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the world. I'm not sure. I think we have... Okay, Howard is not here. We have a celebrity guest coming up next. Please stay tuned. I am Bob Levinsohl, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.